following is a message at Living Savior Church in Asheville and Hendersonville, North Carolina. To learn more, go to lsavior.org.
The gospel of the day is from St. Luke chapter 12. To honor the words of Christ, I invite you to stand. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be in your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't remember his name. It was too many years ago. I was teaching a Bible class, high school age students. He might have been a sophomore or junior in high school. And in that particular Bible class, we're reading what God says about riches. And he raises his hand, and he says, "What's wrong with being rich? Why is the Bible down on rich people?" How would you answer that? I'd heard the question before, so I gave him the pastor answer, which is always kind of long. I said, "There's no crime in being rich. Abraham was rich. We're told that Abraham was wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. In fact, Abraham was so wealthy that when an invading force came in and kidnapped his nephew, came in to kidnap his nephew, Abraham had enough servants that he supported, enough male servants that they formed a fighting force, and they chased after these invaders and they rescued his nephew. Hardworking Martha's sister Mary must have had some wealth. On one occasion, she anointed Jesus with such an expensive fragrance, it was said that it could have been sold for a year's wages. Before God tested Job, he was a wealthy man. Scripture says he had thousands and thousands of sheep and camels and donkeys and oxen and enough servants to take care of all of them. Abraham, Martha's sister Mary, Job, all of them not only people of some wealth, but they obviously trusted in the Lord for all things and used what they had to honor him. No crime in being rich. But today Jesus tells us a parable that puts a warning with that blessing. The parable essentially acknowledging there's no crime in being rich, but only a fool equates riches with life. And only a fool overlooks the fact that being rich in God far surpasses any earthly wealth by far. So as you heard, Jesus tells a story of a landowner. He's farming, and one year he has this incredible crop, more than he had planned on. So he thinks to himself, what am I going to do? I've been blessed beyond what I can expect. So he talks to himself and he makes plans which make perfect sense. Except he has overlooked one dire reality. There's this French artist from about 100 years ago. His name, Eugène Bernot. Eugène Bernot would paint rural scenes from nature. If you look at his paintings online, he was able to portray what would seem to be an ordinary farming life, people tending cattle and sheep and horses, and make it look beautiful. But what made him very famous in his day, Eugène Bernot, is he composed 32 charcoal sketches, black on white sketches. And he named his series of sketches the Parables. In other words, they're portraying Jesus' parables. This particular one that we read, there are two sketches. The first one, a man with a weathered face. He's a farmer. He's sitting at a table, and on the table in front of him are 13 cloth bags, some of them on the shelf behind him as well. The 13 cloth bags tied at the top, numbers scratched on the side of each one. He's been counting his silver and gold. But in the sketch, he's not looking at the bags of money that he's earned. He's instead kind of looking off in the distance. And as I imagine, he's thinking to himself, talking to himself, saying to himself, what am I going to do about this harvest? I can't just leave it outside in the rain and the wind and the weather. It'll be destroyed. Here's what I'll do. He's gazing into the future. I'll use this money and I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. And then when I've stored it all away, I'll tell myself, you have plenty of grain for many years. So now, take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You and I might do that. You might gaze into the distance or gain into a screen and assess your harvest, your income, and where it's stored, where it's kept safe, where it's invested. You might think through things like that. In fact, that might make you a good manager of the wealth that the Lord has sent your way. You might also from time to time say, wouldn't it be a good thing to have a fine meal and a bottle of wine and celebrate now and then? There's nothing wrong with any of that. Except what you and I often overlook is that God, He can decide this body, this mind, this creative ability, this ability to build the bigger barns and make the bigger plans and carry out our work, this life can come to an end at any moment. In the words of the parable, perhaps this very evening. One by one, people come forward and they stand in front of a pastor, and the pastor puts his thumb into a dish of ashes. And then as he puts that smudge on a hand or on a forehead, he says, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Those are scriptural words. Those are the words that God said to the very first man, when the very first man broke God's commandment. He said that to Adam. He said that to Eve, who also had broken God's commandment. He said to him, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you'll eat food from it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Those very words are spoken aloud then to the older fellow who could stand here and tell you he can't believe how quickly the decades have gone past. It's spoken aloud to the ambitious businessman who has plans for his business in the future. Those words are said aloud to the mother whose prayers always turn to her children and the future she's preparing them for. Those words are said aloud to the 20-year-old who his whole life seems to be ahead of him. They're said aloud to a 3-year-old who all he really cares about is what this might look like to have a smudge on his forehead. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's the great equalizer. Death is. All have sinned, Scripture says. All die. So only a fool will say, other people die, but I got plans. Only a fool says, other people may die, but I got things I'm going to do. I'm going to work. I'm going to make a profit, and then I'll have fun. Only a fool says, others may die, but I'm going to build bigger barns and then store away my crop, and then I'll take life easy and eat and drink and be merry. Only a fool equates riches with life. Watch out, Jesus warns. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. Simpler, life is not wealth. Life, rather, is being rich in God. Being rich in God always starts at the same place. It always starts with, Heavenly Father, you made me to love the person near me even more than I love myself. I've really struggled with that. Father, you've made me to put the needs of others ahead of my own, because you're going to meet my own needs, so that I put the needs of others ahead of my own, but I've often failed at that. Father, you gave me all I have, not just for me and mine, but to benefit they and them. But I always fight with that right here and right here. Father, you made me so that all I am and all I do and all I have is for you. But much of the time I just want it for me. Father, I've sinned and deserve nothing but death. That's not all there is to being rich with God, though. When I realize the price that Jesus paid to free me from death, then I'm rich in God. When you say with the psalmist, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, then you're rich in God. When I trust God's promise to wash away all my iniquities, I'm rich in God. When you regret things you've done and yet find great joy in God's salvation given to you, in Christ your Savior, then you're rich within God. You're rich in God when the Holy Spirit comforts you with being connected to the power of Christ in your baptism. You're rich in God when you come forward and receive this meal of your Savior's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of your sins and the strengthening of your faith and the assurance of eternal life. You're rich in God when you realize that God is working all the time, and he's working all the time for your eternal good and for the eternal good of all those who love him. You're rich in God when you can come before him any moment, any day, and speak to him your prayers, and he hears those prayers and is dearly pleased with them. You're rich in God when you look forward to the endless joys of heaven. And you're rich in God when you recognize that that's mine, that inheritance, heaven itself, through what Jesus gives me. He told another parable. The subject of this other parable was the kingdom of heaven. Come to find out, the kingdom of heaven is not just the kingdom above where the joys and the communion with God is so perfect and so complete. The kingdom of heaven is not only the not yet for you and me. As Jesus tells it, the kingdom of heaven is also the already right now. When God is ruling among us and in us with forgiveness and grace and mercy, and I am yours and you are mine and I will never forsake you promise. That's the subject of this other parable, and it's very short. You ready for it? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid the treasure again, and then, in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Jesus, priceless treasure. Would you give up everything if you needed to in order to have him? I think you would. I think that's what he's teaching you in the story. Jesus, priceless treasure, giving us wealth in God that far surpasses any other. You sang that hymn with me. I invite you to turn back to it with me, because I'd like to read for you two of the verses. It's page 9 in the worship folder. And those last two verses go like this. Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore him. Silent, bow before him. Silent, bow before him. Hence, all earthly treasure, Jesus is my pleasure. Jesus is my choice. Hence, all empty glory, not to me thy story told with tempting voice. Pain or loss or shame or cross shall not from my Savior move me, since he deigns to love me. Since he deigns to love me. Amen.